Mr. Leary, reel 7.
So when you got back to camp, what was your reception?
Well, there was several. A lot of the chaps had got back at 10 o'clock, but it seemed there'd been a lot of fog about. And, well, they went before the lieutenant commander, 2.5 ring bloke before me, and they was getting 2 days' pay stopped and like that. So, anyway, I didn't know what they'd got stopped, but I knew they'd got stopped something. I went before him, and he said, anything to say? And I thought, well, it's no use to say, and I got in the wrong part of the train. Well, I believe me, so I said, oh, I said, there's a lot of fog coming down, sir, I said, and the train was delayed. Funny thing, he said, Leary, he said, that's a very funny thing. He said, you know, he said, that it happened to me as well. Case dismissed.
Yeah.
That was the only time I was in the rattle.
Yes. You've mentioned several times naval police. What kind of people were naval police? What were your sort of attitude to them?
Well, when you'd... The naval police was like an MP on the military. He's an ordinary commoner, stoker or a seaman. And that is one of the duties you get if you are watch your board. Same as I was telling you, you'd be on for 24 hours if you was your duty watch.
Oh, I see.
That'd be one of the jobs you'd be detailed off for.
So naval police weren't people who were full-time police?
No.
This was part of the duties?
That was part of the duty, and the only ones they'd give them jobs to was a fella that was nice and broad and a bit brawny. That if he got in a scruffle, he'd be able to own his own. But they used to be in charge then of a petty officer, and there might be about 8 of you. You'd get told off to patrol, as it would be in Plymouth, down Union Street and Ford Street. That might be your beat, you see. And you'd go down them two streets, and perhaps about 8 o'clock. And when you got down to the end, the petty officer might say, go on, lads, take your gaiters off, you used to have one of these big coats, put them in the coat, go and have a walk about. Be back here, you see, at 9:30. Well, you wouldn't get one of the outside patrols unless you was, they could trust you, you see. So the lads would go and have a pint, you see, or something like that, and get back about 9:30, fasten the gaiters on, you see. And the trucks around till about 12 o'clock, you see. And then you get on the transport and you could go back to barracks. Mm. But you didn't go back into your mess then, you see. You'd go into the guard room and sleep there till next morning. Then you'd go out again.
So while you were in the service then, there were no such thing as full-time naval police?
No.
No. Okay, good.
No, there was a kind of a police, but there was called... It come under the Master at Arms. That's what he used to be called.
They'd be Marines.
And
then.
They used to be so Master at Arms in the barracks. So many, you see. And they was like the police side of it, the Master at Arms.
Mm. Was the Master at Arms in a very powerful position?
Oh yes, he'd hold a job equivalent to about a Chief Petty Officer, and he'd walk off any time. There might be 3 or 4 of them really on duty, sat in the regulating office or something like that. And he'd go off for a walk, and he'd go all through the barracks. He'd go through the different blocks, see if anybody was sculling about or doing anything, or out on the parades, that any individual was walking about and wasn't in his section or anything like that. He'd pull you up and ask you what you was doing, you see, and If you wasn't given proper explanation, you'd be in the rattle, in trouble.
Right. On the general question of discipline, did you find that the sort of punishments were on the whole fair?
Well, after you'd been a civilian and you got punishments such as leave stopped and pay stopped, little things like that, you know, you felt you was being deprived, you know.
Were there any other kinds of punishments for any other offences other than stopping pay and stopping leave? The glass house you've mentioned.
Well, if you didn't fall, be falling in time when you should do, and you know, any little offence at all. Mm. If you didn't jump up to them saying jump, you was in the rattle because you didn't jump.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Was there anything in the Navy comparable to jankers in the Army?
What's jankers?
Are any other things which were looked on as justifying punishment? I mean, what was the attitude towards gambling, for example? Was that punishable?
Oh, yes, you do. No gambling. You couldn't do any gambling. And, the Master at Arms was always on the loop for gambling. But two or three of the clever boys, they used to run what they used to call a crown and anchor board. That'd be like ace, queen, jack and something else. I know there's four or six sections on a piece of canvas as they used to have. And it was divided like into these sections. And according, and then they used to have a dice with these six parts marked on the dice and a cup. And you used to get even money so-and-so, 2-1 something else, 3-1 something else, you see. Mm-hmm. And you'd get on and it'd all be on the floor and round in a big ring and shaking, you see, and gambling away. It used to be generally after payday, this. So then somebody would show, "Hey, Master of Towns, oh, such a scatter, you know. Everybody used to scatter and whoever owned the board, you see, used to grab it and shove it up his jumper, this lump of canvas, and then the Master of Arms would come along to try and find out who it was, but they never used to get them, you know. That was about the only thing. They used to play cards in the messes and all like that, but crib was a great game in the Navy. Oh,
so gambling was a punishable thing.
Yes,
yeah.
It was punishable. Yeah. You couldn't.
Yes. What about drunkenness? Drunkenness would presumably be a punishable offence.
Well, it was a funny thing, but personally, I never seen much drunkenness in the Navy. They'd come in a bit tipsy, but not what you could call drunken and capable or anything like that.
Yeah.
Of course, that's what they used to have the patrols for in Plymouth and that, to see if anybody drunk it out like that, you know, any rubbish business.
Well, the thing which I'd like to talk to you about next is the sort of social and recreational side of life, the kind of things you did when you were off duty. And I'd like to split it into two and ask you, first of all, what kind of things you would do when you were off duty but in the barracks.
Like that first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you was off duty in the barracks. Off duty, that's a great thing to say, because you'd very few people that was off duty would stay in the barracks. They'd like to get out so they could get some freedom. I know when I was off duty, I wouldn't make a dash for the 4 o'clock boat, as we used to call it. That's what we used to call them. 4 o'clock boat, 5 o'clock boat. That was when you fell in to go ashore, you see. Freedom. Well, you might as well say you're getting out of a detention altogether when you got out of the barracks into freedom.
Yeah. Was there any kind of social or study or hobby activities that would commonly take place in the barracks when men weren't on duty?
They used to have a bit of a concert now and again, but it was nothing much. This is, you know, 1913,
Was there anything resembling sort of trade union activity? I mean, would you ever get together and sort of...
In the time I'm talking about, 1913, there was very little trade union. Mind you, there was, because when I was working down Trafford Park and for Madison Platz, they got me to even at was only, 18 years of age or so. I was even got at them. They got at me.
Yeah, but in the Navy, I mean.
Oh, no, there was nothing in the Navy. There was nothing like that.
Right.
And there was no VAT and no stamping cards.
Would it be fair to say then that hobbies and study and sort of games of any kind in barracks off duty didn't take place? If you were off duty, you tended to leave and that was it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, assuming that you'd gone ashore on an evening off, what were the most common kind of things that you'd do?
9 out of 10 used to go for a pinter. Right? Go for a pint. Mm-hmm. And they used to go down to Plymouth. Walk it, of course. Over an old bridge that ran over some river, I forget the river. They used to call it the Halfpenny Bridge. But everybody was supposed to pay 8 me to go across this here bridge, walking, you know. But the sailors used to get across for nothing. They used to... If they would wait till about 6 of them and one had pay and the others had run across. And then we used to go to a pub, a lot of them, in Union Street called the Chester Cup. Now, any old sailor that was in at my time... You mentioned the Chester Cup, he'd know it, because all the riffraff and all the, you know, the fancy girls and all that, they used to make there to catch the sailor that had a few bob to spare and was wanting a night out sort of thing. Chester Cup.
Was there any particular reason why the Chester Cup was so popular?
Well, because these here fairies, you know, they used to congregate there. And the majority of the sailor, you know, Jack Me Arty sort of thing, he just joined up and got uniform, you know, and all this here, and been away from home for a few weeks.
I've heard it said that the sailor and his money are soon parted. Is that your experience?
Yes, when he's assured it is, because, you see, I'm talking about, you see, a man that's been afloat for a long time, you see. Not mixing up with civilian life. And, of course, it's a lot of old tripe about this. Got a girl in every port and all this lot. But when he gets a show, you see, he's got a few quid and he doesn't value money. You forget to really, in a way, lose the sense of real value for money. As long as you get the thing, you're willing to pay for it as long as you've got the money.
What sort of things would the sailors spend his money on? You've
mentioned booze and women, of course. Booze and women, because he had no clothes to buy, and not while he was in the Navy, the Royal Navy, because you had your uniform. So he had no civilian clothes to buy.
Did you or any of your messmates, as a matter of course, save any money from your pay?
Oh, you couldn't save money from your pay. Blimey, you had to write home to ask you to sub you a bit. You couldn't. Mm. You couldn't save anything. If, you know, it's an impossibility. Just think of it. Even 12 shillings and sixpence a week. You know... Of course, a pint of beer, I don't know what it cost then, but it'd only cost about sixpence or something like that, sixpence or eightpence. But it went nowhere, your money.
Was the was money a source of a fairly common complaint amongst the lower deck?
Nobody complained about it, but you just... took everything in your stride. You knew what you was getting, and when you'd spent it, you'd had it. And in the barracks, you only got paid once a fortnight.
Were there any ways in which you could supplement your income, supplement your pay,
by
doing jobs for anyone?
No. No, because unless you was a native, if you lived in Plymouth or Devonport or Saltash, maybe you could. Maybe your parents had a bit of a business and you could, do bits of work there. You see, when you went off at 4 o'clock.